This week's episode is brought to you with the support of Bureau Veritas.
At Bureau Veritas, each and every one of us is by your side to help you navigate your decarbonisation journey and shape a better maritime world.
This is Green Seas, the podcast by Tradewinds about sustainability and the business of the ocean. I'm Eric Priante-Martin, and today, ship managers find opportunity in EU emissions rules. At first, as shipping hurtled toward inclusion in the EU emissions trading system, there was worry that the ETS, as it's known, could put third-party ship managers in a bind. The system, which entered force at the start of the year, requires shipping companies to pay for their carbon emissions. But right up until the last minute, it looked like the company that holds a ship's so-called Document of Compliance, or DOC, would be responsible for submitting the carbon credits known as EU allowances. That document might be held by a third-party technical manager, which wouldn't want to be holding that bag. EU officials eventually made it clear that it's a ship's owner that's responsible. This is Carl Skow, chief executive of Singapore-based Wilhelmsen Ship Management.
I couldn't be more happy, to be honest, the way this landed, because prior to 1st of January, it was the DOC holder, which meant, as for a ship manager, that meant we would be responsible for the ship owner's emissions, which is not a very practical solution. So when they changed this to the registered ship owner, this kind of took quite a large burden off our shoulders, to be very honest. And in our opinion, it's much clearer now. By not complying, the penalty goes to where the penalty should go.
With that particular risk out of the way, what is left is an emissions trading system that many ship managers, like Wilhelmsen, are seeing as an opportunity rather than a burden. These companies that help ship owners run their vessels are adding to that service by helping to navigate the complexities of Brussels' carbon market. Wilhelmsen Ship Management saw the opportunity some time ago, announcing in February of last year that the company would create a new venture with Brokinghouse Affinity Shipping. Yes, shipbrokers are in this business too. The entity they created is Hecla Emissions Management. Skow sees emissions management as part of a catalog of services that includes the company's existing strengths in technical management and crew management.
The role of the ship manager has traditionally kind of been a service provider running the vessels for the owners, but we see that this new regulation, which kicked into force from the 1st of January, we see that this is in many ways a catalyst for ship managers, or at least the bigger ones, the more serious ones, to evolve from just managing your ship, getting it from A to B, etc., but also moving into the kind of the emission management space, being able to now offer a kind of a one-stop service covering everything.
More recently, Azola, the decarbonization arm of Singaporean ship manager Synergy Marine, teamed up with emissions trading house Virtus Environmental Finance. The partnership aims to leverage Virtus's carbon markets experience with Synergy's technical management and customer base. Frederick Botillier, the head of shipping at Virtus, noted that technical managers are not new to Brussels carbon regulations because they already have to supply information to the EU's emissions data system known as MRV. He said that for ship managers like Synergy, the EU emissions trading regime offers an opportunity to add a service to the package they offer to ship owners. And for Virtus, it's access to the more than 700 vessels in the Synergy fleet.
So clearly, that was and still a unique opportunity for the technical manager. And for us at Virtus, it's a unique entry point to access. You're talking to one entity and you have a reach out of 1,000 vessels. So you know, it's a win-win.
Also key to Synergy's offering is Casper, a software platform that provides emissions accounting for its shipowner customers. Matavan Subaya is chief executive of Marine Services and Corporate Functions at Synergy.
Now, when we get into the complexities of compliance with EU Emission Trading System, that's EETS, and fuel EU Maritime Regulation, it's very important to understand the evolving dynamics and responsibility. You know, traditionally, the technical managers have overseen the regulatory aspect. Now, in this particular case, the onus is on the registered onus. when it comes to EU ETS. So this shift can pose challenges, especially for the companies with multiple registered owners needing more expertise to meet EU ETS compliance. Now comes the ship managers with necessary experience and resources, because we were the one who was handling this EU MRV. So to assist owners in meeting EU ETS requirement, by leveraging this expertise, we can provide, as a ship manager, an invaluable support in ensuring the ships adhere to EU ETS.
Subbiah said that complexities of mounting environmental regulations can be daunting for ship owners, and he sees his company's role as providing guidance to navigating them. And the role of ship managers goes beyond complying with the new EU rules.
How do we support the ship owners? By empowering them with knowledge and tools, like Casper, help them to optimize the fuel selection, thereby maximizing the energy efficiency and minimizing environmental impact.
Why might ship owners need help dealing with EU emissions trading rather than handling it in-house? Wilhelmsen Skou pointed to a number of complexities, including the regulatory compliance burden for shipping companies in an international industry that may not have a presence in the EU, but still have to buy carbon allowances for their European voyages.
As I'm sure most know, the EU ETS originally started as an emission scheme for land-based industry. And then this was pushed onto the maritime industry, more or less as is. In other words, it hasn't been tailor-made for the maritime industry. In other words, this leads up to a situation where we have a land-based, shore-based system, which has just been pushed onto the maritime side. Nothing conceptually wrong with that, but the rules and regulations have not been structured and made for the maritime industry. When I say the maritime industry, you know, these are ships, vessels moving from A to B across the world. The owning company might be sitting in Japan. The ship owning company might be registered in Panama. So it's a very complex and fragmented picture. Not too complicated, but another challenge is that you have to have a presence in EU to kind of get this up and running. So I mean, if you are based in the Far East or South America, as an example, and you don't have a presence in the EU, then obviously there's another challenge for you. So it's a very fragmented and complicated picture for many, ourselves included.
And there's the fact that even though shipping became subject to the emissions trading system in January, there are still aspects of the regulation that haven't been finalized. Looking ahead, Skou said the EU is just the beginning of emissions regulations growth around the world.
Obviously, when we see the way the EU ETS has been, structured and made, this will probably be rolled out in different places around the world. So this is not going to stop with the EU, at least in our opinion.
For more on sustainability and shipping, visit tradewindsnews.com/sustainability. Sign up for the Green Seas newsletter at tinyurl.com/greenseas. Music for this episode is by Mood Mode from Pixabay.